Hi, and welcome to the Good People, Good Marketing podcast, a podcast about nonprofit digital marketing and how to make it better so that good people at good organizations can have good marketing as well. I'm your host, Adam Walker, co-founder of Sideways 8, a digital marketing agency that specializes in nonprofit work, and 48 and 48, a nonprofit dedicated to hosting events that build 48 websites for 48 nonprofits in 48 hours. My guest on the show today is Jason Berkowitz. Jason is a New York local and resident SEO expert. He gained his SEO skills when he was starting his young entrepreneurial company and looking to make a difference. And in exploring those SEO skills, he got better and better at it and found that SEO was his calling. So now every day he shares his passion that he's discovered with others by helping them to get and grow their businesses through more exposure through search engine optimization. Jason, welcome to the podcast. You want to fill us in with anything I missed in your bio there? There's a lot.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's a pleasure to be on here. And I think you pretty much covered most of the nitty gritty. It's all about SEO and sharing the knowledge of SEO with clients and marketing directors and marketing people all around. So yeah, you've pretty much nailed it on the head. The history is a little bit longer, but I don't know how much you want to delve into that. But yeah, it's kind of like a self-taught SEO experience, you know, trying to rank own business in Google and took off from there.
Yeah, well, you know, SEO is an ever-changing game, and so you got to really have your finger on the pulse consistently to be able to do that. So I definitely am looking forward to hearing about, you know, what you have to share, and then maybe I'll even pick your brain a little bit about how you stay up to date with what's going on and with current SEO trends as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, so let's dive in. So related to digital marketing, and I guess for you related to SEO, tell us something that's working well.
For SEO perspective, really, the overall philosophy of SEO hasn't really changed. Most people are familiar with on-page SEO and off-page SEO. On-page SEO taking action on the website, making the website more SEO friendly. That hasn't changed. I would say the rules of what you're doing in the optimization has changed a little bit, like keywords. You know, keywords aren't the same as they used to be. I think from what I understand, they don't really have any at all difference in an SEO campaign. Meta keywords, meta description, what we've changed as opposed to being a very small, minute meta description focused on trying to get your keywords in there. We've actually been creating meta descriptions that are focused on conversion, something to attract clicks as well, while also getting some of the variations of the primary keywords in there as well. But that's some of the changes that we've been doing on page SEO. Off page SEO, it's really still about backlinks. I would say the quality of the backlinks of incoming links and trust signals coming to your website has changed. Quality is king, as opposed to back in the day, used to be about quantity. Backlinks still are the bread and butter of an SEO campaign, making sure that you have better backlinks than your competitors from relevant authoritative websites.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense, right? Because if CNN.com is linking to your website versus, you know, Jim'sNews.com or I don't know, whatever, don't go to that website. I don't know what that is, but you know what I mean? there's a value there that automatically gets placed on CNN that goes, oh man, these guys are legitimate. And so it makes a really big impact on your ranking.
Absolutely. And if you have a thematic relevancy as well being transferred, you know, the incoming link, the overall relevancy of that site is pretty much in your niche or in your industry, you definitely have more advantageous results coming from that as well.
So tell me that I'm curious, as far as link building goes, you know, what's the best way to think about that for an agency or for a nonprofit or really anybody that's trying to get their name out there? Is it to pick a niche and really own that niche and write in that and get sort of published in some publications relevant to that? Or sort of what's your take on that?
Well, PR definitely helps 100%. PR and SEO kind of work hand in hand. Trying to pick a specific niche per se, you know, it's hard because there's a lot of different websites out there and there's a lot of different niches and opportunities. Really reaching out to relevant websites, I would say, is the best thing you could do. There's, with backlinking as a whole, there's a lot of controversy. So if you can do white hat tactics, quote unquote gray hat or black hat tactics, reaching out to relevant authoritative websites that that fit within your specific industry would probably be really ideal for you, right, as well as from a PR perspective.
Right. I like that. I mean, why not reach out to them? It doesn't hurt to try to collaborate with other people, and it's not going to hurt you, not going to hurt them. It's a great opportunity for both.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay. So next question related to digital marketing and again, SEO for your perspective. Tell us what's not working well that we can learn from.
I would say some of the old school SEO methods. You know, surprisingly, there's still a lot of SEO blogs that focus on tactics that worked very well, probably back in 2007, which aren't applicable today. You know, if you've been in the SEO game quite a while, you remember our article submission directories, social bookmarking, blog comments could work if done naturally. You know, if you have a natural blog comment and, you know, obviously the text of the link matters. Those are really kind of phased out, but surprisingly, there's still SEO agencies that are still providing these services, social bookmarking, press releases. Press releases also are very controversial. You know, if there's something that's newsworthy, then 100% send a press release.
Right.
So some of the old school methods that I'm still surprised, it's so shocked that people are still going after. We have a lot of clients that'll come to us and say, here, do you mind looking at our current company's SEO report? And I'm baffled by what I'm looking at. It's just hundreds and hundreds of directory submissions, search engine submissions, which are submissions to Google's non-important competitors, all those hundreds of tiny search engenes.
Yeah, that nobody uses, right?
Yeah, and they're still charging for it. And that's where I would say SEO kind of gets a bad rap, whereas their deliverables aren't providing results.
Right, right. So, the scammy SEO practices really at that point.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's things that aren't working, you know, it really comes down to those things, as well as questionable tactics, whether you're acquiring websites for the sole purpose of trying to game a system. It works, but is it going to work in the long run? Probably not.
Right, right. I don't think that stuff's worth it in the long run. I think you can have short-term gains and have long-term losses. And at the end of the day, you just don't, that's not what you want.
No, 100%, especially when you're spending so much time, money, effort into something that's not going to work in the long run. And, you know, when we do SEO campaigns, we really focus on longevity and what's going to work right now and what will continue to work in the future. And when you have a good idea on what Google wants from their, let's say, backlinks specifically, it allows you to really hone in on the ideas and techniques that you're implementing in the campaigns itself.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Google's in the practice of providing the best content for what you're searching for. And so you've got to be the one providing the best content for what they're searching for. That's the whole point.
Yeah. And that's their focus, is to make sure that they're providing valuable information. We all know they make their money through ads, but most of their user base, they're aware most people are skipping the ads and going to the organic search results. And they know that if they fail to provide good, legitimate, valuable, resourceful information, people will just simply start losing trust in their search results and maybe go to Bing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was funny. I was at an event last weekend and somebody was searching and I noticed they were actually searching on Bing. It's the first time I've seen anyone use Bing in the wild, I think ever. It was the weirdest. I almost kind of was like, what are you doing? But then I just let it go, you know. So,
you know, it's funny you say that. Bing actually does provide some traffic, and it is quite surprising, as most people tend to focus on Google itself. We've run tests specifically where we've tried to see how we can penalize a website in Google and rank it high in Bing, just because they have different algorithms, and Bing's algorithm is kind of Google's maybe circa 2010. So, just for testing purposes, of course, we've gotten websites penalized by Google, but ranked very highly in Bing. And there still is a sizable amount of search traffic. And I think the reason was because there was a default browsing going to Bing on certain things. For example, the failed Windows phone, certain iPhones, I would say at a time were going to Bing. Bing and Yahoo, who share an index. So it's definitely valuable just to consider in an SEO.
Yeah, it's really, really a fascinating point. I totally agree with you on that. There is traffic to be had there if you want it. It's worth thinking about. So last question related to SEO and digital marketing. Tell us something you're excited about.
Well, I actually just saw this cool video this morning. I don't know if you saw about it. Google announced a new update to their Google Assistant that they plan on showcasing, whereas the Google Assistant could actually book appointments for you. You say, I don't want to say because I have a Google Home, but you say the keyword to get the Google Assistant's attention. And you say, hey, book me, in this example they used, book me a hair salon appointment for Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. And they actually show a recording of their tests of somebody, of their system, calling a local business and booking a haircut.
Whoa.
And, yeah,
that's pretty neat. So speaking of Google Assistant, you know, how are you thinking about SEO in terms of this whole, you know, voice activated world and voice search world? Are you starting to think through and account for that as well?
Absolutely. I think that there's going to be a tie-in primarily with local searches. So if you say to Google, find me a plumber near me, what Google will do is probably provide you with the result that is the number one in Google Maps.
Right.
So that's what we think is the aim. I don't think 100% exactly where they want to be yet, so things might change. But that's probably going to be the intention. Is the higher, obviously, the higher you're ranking for related keywords. Google understands words in context. They understand that a plumber in NYC is the same thing as a New York City plumber or a Manhattan plumber. So right. Being positioned high definitely increases your chances of being visible. That's with a strict voice search. If, you know, for example, if I'm doing my phone and I say, find me a plumber in NYC, I'll see the Google Map results. I'll see the top three listings in Google Maps right there with their review. With a phone number, directions, you know, again, that's just an example for a plumber. I don't know who's going to drive to a plumber, but definitely having.
Said that, I was totally trying. I was like, yeah, that's exactly how it goes.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
No, I get it. No, that's great. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think that's something, you know, for nonprofits to realize is that a lot of SEO is really, you've got to be hyper-focused on local because, you know, most nonprofits have a local expression of what they're trying to do, and they need to really pay attention to those local results, those local map results and everything else, so they can rank well for those.
Yeah, and especially some what we might consider national keywords where you wouldn't think that it would show local results. Even in the organic search results, you will see local results at times, not only in Google Maps. For example, one thing that we were looking up was financial services, and we switched our location around to different cities around the US, and it showed half national companies and half local companies in the organic search results specifically. So local definitely is dominating, and making sure that all your local signals are there, name, address, phone number on your website, around all different citation websites like Yelp, Manta, Yellow Pages, etc.
Yep.
Exactly. Really, really helps.
Yeah, and having your address in there, making sure it's all set up correctly. And then, you know, I think nonprofits also from an SEO perspective can realize that they need to realize that your search results are not the same as my search results, are not the same as my next door neighbor search results, based because search results are really a big conglomeration of browsing history and location and all sorts of other stuff that Google's factoring in. And so when we're beginning to track these things, like we can track them, but you know, these aren't hard numbers. Just because I'm number two right now in my screen doesn't mean I'm number two for, you know, for every single person everywhere. And it's just good to recognize that, I think.
Yeah, and especially if you're using a rank tracker or a software that's showing you your rankings overall as opposed to manual searches, none of them are going to be 100% accurate for exactly the points you just mentioned. Browsing history, location, IP address, possible user intent. You know, if right. you search something beforehand and then go to a different search after, well, that fluctuates the results differently.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's many different things to consider.
Yeah, that's great. So I've got to ask one thing and then I'll wrap up with my notes here. Are there any tools that you would strongly recommend that a nonprofit should check out related to SEO?
Yeah, I've been plugging them a little bit lately, so they should probably hook me up with something. Ahrefs.com, or pronounced in their lingo, Ahrefs.com. And that's become, over the late years, I've been a subscriber over there since about 2012. And they have backlink checkers, keyword research checkers, organic search traffic, so you can see where your website's ranking for certain keywords, content gap analysis. There's so many different tools. And I know that their team specifically is working really hard to improve their software and make it even better within each week. You know, and they have a lot of good resourceful information. Their Facebook page has great videos. They actually just released a blog content marketing course for free, you know, which they didn't have to do. But
wow.
Yeah. Ahrefs.com.
Check that out. I've got a blog. I need more blog marketing. So I'll check that out. That's fantastic.
Yeah. They're definitely my number one tool. And we have paid subscriptions to a whole variety of tools. We always end up going back to Ahrefs. You know, they're definitely trying to make a change in the industry, especially from a tool set standpoint. And I definitely would throw my hat in the ring for them.
All right. Well, I'll check that out. That's a new one for me. So that's great. I'm excited to know what that's like. So, well, Jason, let me see if I can recap what we've talked about so far. So related to digital marketing and SEO, what is working well for you? You said basically overall SEO philosophy hasn't changed, but you are focusing on creating meta descriptions that are focused on conversions. But it's still about on-page, good on-page SEO practices and good off-page SEO practices, off-page practices in terms of, you know, backlinks that are from high quality websites, You did mention that PR can help, but overused PR is actually a really bad idea. It needs to be genuine press releases, not funny-duddy press releases. Yeah. That's not really the best way to describe it, but you get my point. And just, you know, connecting with relevant websites to see if you want to share links to one another can be really helpful. Under what is not working well that we can learn from, you said old-school SEO methods. So beware of the SEO swindlers. That's what I'm trying to say. Swindlers out there that are still doing, you know, a million link tree submissions and all that other crazy stuff, social bookmarking and all that. It's not worth it at all. Avoid it at all costs. Really focus on good quality content, on quality links to your site. It's going to make all the difference in the world. And for what you're excited about, you mentioned first, Google Assistant can book appointments for you, which is awesome. And then also we talked about, you know, voice search and how that ties into local searches and how local searches and Google Map results can really have a huge impact on an organization's ranking. And then a tool, bonus tool you recommend, ahrefs.com. That's ahrefs.com is a good tool to start with for SEO practices. And like you also said, some good training courses as well. So Jason, did I miss anything, or do you have anything you want to add to that?
I think you nailed it on the head perfectly. I have nothing more to add to that.
Fantastic. Well, Jason, thanks for being on the show, man. I'd love to have you back, and best of luck to you in your SEO endeavors.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Adam, for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Good People, Good Marketing podcast. To get more resources about nonprofit digital marketing, make sure to go to goodpeoplegoodmarketing.com, where you can find more podcasts, blogs, and other fun resources. Also, if you want to find me, Adam, your host, you can find me on Twitter at AJWalker or on my blog at adamjwalker.com, where I blog about leadership, productivity, habit building, and the craziness of having five kids. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time.